You're listening to In This League
on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ace. Featuring Bogman.
Oh, the yummy silence. Oh, it tastes so good, you guys.
Oh, he's on tilt. He's full tilt.
And the Welsh.
Nice.
Bogman, let's not overreact.
Are you serious?
Make a little pick. Get down tonight. What?
Nice.
Too high score, is that bad?
Visit InThisLeague.com for full podcasts and more. Coming to your ears now.
What's up? What's happening? It is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Chris Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. That's Scott Bogman. You can find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports, and you can send all of your hate and vitriol and anger at Bogman Sports. Just tweet him the anger.
Why?
Because the Patriots won.
Don't you put that evil on me!
People are mad, Bogman. People are mad. There's riots in the streets. What do you
think? Why is that my fault?
Because you need to take... I will take all the positive reinforcement at IsItTheWelsh. All the things that you love, send those to me. Positive questions, all the hate and vitriol, whatever it is, anything in your life. If you're upset about how you look, if you're upset about your relationship, you're upset about the Patriots winning, anything, send that to Bogman Sports on Twitter at Bogman Sports. I think a good thing.
At IsItTheWelsh is a better place to send all that stuff.
No. Don't put more hate and vitriol. What was hated more, the Patriots winning or the inauguration?
Ooh, that is a good question.
Or the results of the presidential election.
Well, I'm going to have to say, because only Boston wanted the Patriots to win, that it was... you know, maybe sprinkle in some, you know, NFC South fans that aren't Atlanta Falcons.
There was definitely more United States support for Trump than there was for the Patriots. That's a guarantee.
Yeah. That's
not even close.
Yeah, I think if you were running polls for the Falcons, it would be well up over 46% or whatever Trump was. So, yeah, I think I would go with that.
Oh,
for sure.
If the Super Bowl was conducted by the Electoral College, Atlanta won within the first 3 hours of results coming in. That's a guarantee, Bogman. There is no question about that.
What's the worst part for Falcons fans, like losing this game, or the fact that the Falcons are going to be synonymous with choking until someone else chokes bigger than this?
I mean, the Falcons have overtaken the Warriors.
Oh, yeah, by a lot. This is...
But, dude, everybody... Okay, so, people would just come out of nowhere and just be like, by the way, the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead. Like, the Falcons have overtaken that awesome little clip that people get to do, and it's not even close.
This is like the year of choking in the finals, I guess, you know, because the Indians were up 3-1, the Warriors were up 3-1, and now the Falcons were up by 25 points. This is Tom Brady's biggest comeback in his career, by the way. His biggest comeback before this was 23 points in 2003.
Do you think they'll replay this Tom Brady comeback and they'll have it like the drive like they do the 1989 Niners coming back in the Bengals game?
You can't do that because it was, two and a half quarters of a comeback. And with the catch, I always get the drive and the catch reversed for some reason. But
Niners are there for a lot of great moments, Bogman. Not lately.
They are. Yeah, and well, not lately. But you get Kyle Shanahan. So just tell him not to throw the ball at...
tell him to maybe run the ball. Bogman, can I ask you something? What makes it so difficult for decision makers to run the ball when you obviously need to run the ball? Pete Carroll, run Marshawn Lynch at the 1 yard line. Kyle Shanahan, when you are up 8 and you are in field goal range and there's only 4 minutes left or whatever, run the ball. Run the ball and kick the field goal and be up by 2 scores. It's not that hard.
Yeah, I think the problem is at that point they knew their defense was just completely gassed, and they figured we're going to put foot on gas. I'm not making excuses for them. I'm just telling you what their thought process probably was behind it. Was let's keep our foot on the gas, let's score another touchdown and make sure there's no way these guys come back. But you're absolutely right. Should have run the ball. The Seahawks thing is just still egregious. Like, how do you not hand the ball to the biggest, most powerful runner almost in NFL history? It's like, you know, Earl Campbell and Marshawn Lynch.
Okay.
So
greatest game, greatest
guy,
Super Bowl of all time.
The guy made an earthquake, for God's sake.
Greatest Super Bowl of all time.
I don't know if it's the greatest of all time. It was like it's definitely the best comeback in postseason history. It's got to be better than the Bills and the Oilers because this was in the Super Bowl.
That Bills, I remember that one.
I was living in Houston when that happened, dude. It was like everyone died. Everyone lost a family member the next day in Houston.
Yeah, well, I mean, and to me, it's
got to be what it's like in Atlanta today.
Like the Niners Bengals was always stuck to me, but like what did you do? This is what I want to know, and this is just how my brain works. I want to know what all people were doing between the second and third quarter. Do you know how many people checked out? You know how many people just checked out of the game? I was just like playing with my kids and stuff. I'm like, I'll watch a little bit more of the third quarter because the Falcons were embarrassing the Patriots. But then when the Patriots scored that, you know, like they got into the double digits, I was like, here we go. What were they feeling?
When it got down to like 2 minutes left in the game and they needed the touchdown and 2-point conversion to tie and go into overtime, I said the Patriots are going to win this game.
Oh, yeah. I said the Patriots are going to win going into the fourth quarter. I could just feel it. I mean, I thought the Patriots were going to win the whole time. My guess was super close. I had guessed 33-28 and then it ends up being 34-28. You could just feel it happening. Pretty phenomenal. Julian Edelman, that catch he made. Is it better than David Tyree's? Bounced off a dude's leg and he caught it. You see the meme of like Ant-Man holding up the football for him? It was great.
I didn't see that.
God, how much tail is Edelman going to bring in too?
He already does.
I mean, even more.
We call him Sexy Julian.
That's a good, wholesome, sexy thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, on the show.
So, yeah, he is Sexy Julian. You know, I mean, get richer. And I'm not just talking about rings or money.
Right, exactly. That dude is such a prick. I'm so tired of Julian Edelman. All he does is talk a bunch of smack and scream at referees.
And have lots of money and be handsome and win Super Bowls. Yeah.
Yeah, and make one of the most amazing catches in Super Bowl history. So, I'm not an Edelman fan.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at us. Yeah, we're sitting here talking about it and they're living it up. He's probably face full of lots of beautiful things right now. So, Tom Brady. Greatest of all time, right? We can end the debate. Easy.
I think he was before.
I'm happy about it. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how anybody else feels. I'm happy that they're... And this is coming from a Joe Montana 49er fan. Like, I'm true and true 49ers, and Tom Brady's the best quarterback of all time, and I'm happy that it happened. It's already, you know, midweek. You know, this discussion has been going on for days. People, you know, we're not going to talk all about this, by the way, the whole show, but it's good to say that Tom Brady is the best, and we don't have to think two other ways about it right now. Five Super Bowl rings, 466 yards in that freaking game.
How about this? Tom Brady wins another Super Bowl. Is he better than Jordan?
Oh, that's such a good question. Tweet us. And if it's a great question, tweet me. If you hate the question, tweet Bogman. But no, tweet both of us. That is at the Welsh at Bogman Sports. If Brady wins a sixth, who is the best athlete of all time? Is it Brady or is it Jordan? I think that's the best question ever. I don't know. Well, let's revisit that in the second hour. Let's talk amongst ourselves and figure it out. On this episode, though, we just wanted to recap the Super Bowl just a little bit, even though it's Wednesday and people have heard it. But we are going to be we got a bunch of fantasy basketball because that's where you have to turn. In more episodes, we will be doing more baseball. We're going to talk a little bit baseball in the second hour. Baseball is around the corner, but everybody is getting the limelight goes on basketball right now. So we are covering the biggest stories because there's some massive stuff that's going on. Plus, in the second hour, the second segment of the second hour, Mike Gallagher from Roto World is going to be joining us, and we've got a themed episode, Spaceballs. We're going to do a Spaceballs theme basketball conversation with Gallagher in the second hour. So don't go anywhere. In This League, we'll be right back on the Fantasy Sports Network after these messages.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Bogman, we have some blind plays.
Some people say that I'm going blind for reasons I don't understand.
They say that you can go blind doing that. Have your hands gotten hairy?
No.
Just it's going to your head.
No, in fact, I think the hair's falling off because the impending diabetes. But
okay. Just checking to see how it goes.
That's one of the signs, man, is your toe hair and your like knuckle hair falls off.
Oh, great.
It's still there, though, so I'm good. I'm going to have more soda.
Okay. Enjoy your soda. Someone had said we should start doing this game like the Mallrats game, the suitor number one. So I'll at least do it like that. So Bogman, with our...
Can you please call me the second suitor?
Blind plays, suitor number one, Bogman. Shooting 45% from the field hoop range, 82% free throw, 2 threes, 14.7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 2 turnovers a game. That is suitor number one. Mwah. Suitor number two. It's a little kiss. It's a dating game. Suitor number two.
The second suitor.
The second suitor with 44% field hoop range, 76 free throw, 1 3, 14 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 0.5 steal, but 2 blocks and 2 turnovers. All of these both can be yours over the last 30 days. So this is a 30-day marker that we're looking at both of these players. Now, player, this is pretty razor thin. Player number one is better in the percentages decently, a little bit more rebounds. This, but really, really, when you're breaking this down, the steals to blocks are pretty drastically different on both of these guys. But player number one has an edge.
I'm going to use one lifeline, okay. And I would like to know how many free throw attempts these guys take on average.
Oh, okay. That's good. Okay. So player number one is averaging over the last 30 days 2.5 free throws a game.
Okay. And the second?
The second suitor over the last 30 days is averaging, rounding up, three free throws a game.
All right. I'm going to go with player one.
You're going to go with suitor number one.
Suitor one. We're talking about better everything except for their tight end points, turnovers, and one less block. But really, that 76 to 82%. Free throw percentage is a decent enough difference, plus the 3 plus 1.5 steals.
Is this not close or is this close?
No, it's this might be the closest one we've ever done.
And it's because, is it because of the blocks? Because we've determined on this show,
yeah,
blocks is just hands down the most difficult and the most hard to come by stat.
I tell you what, if they were both shooting 82% free throw, like the same, I would probably go with the second suitor.
The second suitor. Wow, okay.
But because the percentage is a bit lower and he's taking more shots at the line, then I'm going to go with player one.
Okay. Suitor number one. Would you like to take some guesses?
I don't know if I have any good guesses here.
I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you one more little lifeline here.
Okay.
You're such a great contestant on this game. One player is ranked inside the top 30, actually inside the top 25 over the last 30 days. The other inside the top 90. So they're closer to the 90 range. But
that's a big difference for
me. I'm also going to tell you the pre-draft ranks are
flipped.
Almost flipped.
Okay.
30 days. This is a pretty big marker we're looking at here.
Is player two Jimmy Butler?
No, that would be a really bad month if Jimmy Butler had that. No, Jimmy. It is not Jimmy Butler. Both players are in the East, though.
In the East. Is, I feel like they're small forwards because they're doing a lot of stuff and things and shooting threes.
One definitely is a small forward.
And they're both in the... Is one of them Kent Bazemore?
It is not, but that's funny. I did consider Bazemore in the player debates.
I don't have any good guesses.
What would you like to know? The player you picked or the player you did not?
Is one of these Jay Crowder?
No.
Okay. Give me the player I did not pick, the second suitor.
Second suitor, 44 field hoop, 76 free throw, 1 3, 14 points, 5 rebounds, an assist, 0.5 steal, but 2 blocks and 2 turnovers a game, playing for the New York Knicks, Kristaps Porzingis. 3-6 Latvia.
3-6 Latvia. 3-6 Latvia.
3-6 Latvia.
In the face.
3-6 Latvia.
3-6 Latvia.
3-6 Latvia.
Oh, 3-6 Latvia.
Ranked 85 over the last month on Yahoo, at least.
Hitting that wall again.
Yeah, he is hitting that wall of playing games. And I definitely made sure that he was actually playing some games because that's been a little problem with him. But he's been kind of straight poop, homie, over the last month. Only not even playing a full 29 minutes a game. So Kristaps Porzingis, 3-6 Latvia, is the player you did not pick with the blocks. The player that you picked playing for the Philadelphia 76ers, Robert Covington.
Bob Covington, Lord Robert Covington.
Top,
he's been good.
25. He's 24 overall as of Sunday when we're recording this. 24 overall over the last month, 67 on the entire season. He's been pretty good.
Yeah, he has been good. I still worry about what happens when everyone on that team is healthy, because Embiid hasn't been playing the last three games. Okafor has been in and out of the lineup. Ben Simmons still hasn't come back. So I would still go Porzingis over Bob Covington, he's been good.
Yeah, the point is to point out how good Bob Covington has been playing on this team. Now, Ben Simmons looming. I don't know what this does to
maybe
it. I mean, but Simmons is really going to probably, I mean, might straight just play point guard, so it might not matter. They might just put out this massively large team, or if they keep McConnell in. I mean, Covington is still a spot shooter. The thing I would worry that he's going to lose is if those steal numbers go down, and let's say some of the rebounds. I mean, you know, that's kind of holding them up right now. I mean, two steals a game and a block, that's pretty valuable.
Yeah, it's just you just don't know how much it's going to fluctuate with this lineup and with minutes and with all that stuff.
Yeah, right. All right.
I like Bob Covington and what he's doing now. That's a good one.
Blind play number two. These suitors hailing over the last 30 days could be yours, Bogman. Suitor number one. Shooting 45 from the field hoop, 76 free throw, averaging 2 threes a game, 15 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, a full steal. We're going to say no blocks and 1 turnover a game. Not bad. Suitor number two, the second suitor, shooting 43 field goal, but 82 free throw, 1.5 threes, because I just wanted to point that out, 15 points as well, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, no blocks, 1 turnover. Your major differences: player number one gets field goal, player number two gets free throw, player number one gets threes, player number two gets rebounds, player number one gets assists, and player number two gets the steals. Very, very similar players. What do you think about this blind play over the last 30 days?
Give me the steals and give me the free throw percentage. I think field goal percentage is a little easier to make up because you can get guys that shoot a lot of field goals. And he's also got the assist.
Nope. Player number one.
He also has... He also has the boards, and they're equal in turnovers. I know we said zero, but it's 0.4 to 0.3 in blocks, realistically. Maybe it'll get you like that one extra block a week or something.
Player number one is here for the field goal, the threes, and the assists.
He's here for the party.
He's here for the party, exactly. He's here to get down. Player number two is here for the free throw, the rebounds, and the steals. So,
he's here for the gangbang, right.
How close is this one to you?
It's fair. I mean, their numbers are so damn similar. It's really, really close. But give me that extra, you know, maybe a block, maybe a steal a week, the stuff and things type of person. That's who I want.
Okay. You want to take any guesses?
Does one of their names rhyme with Schmoladipo?
One of their names does rhyme with Schmoladipo. Real quick, I will tell you that both players are post 50, post top 50. They are not top 50 players, and one of them is Schmoladipo. Schmoladipo!
Schmoladipo! I'm going to trust that I picked home Schmoladipo and that he's player two and player one.
And you
are
right about that. You did pick Schmoladipo was the player that you took.
And player one, who is right there with Schmoladipo? I have no idea. Who is player one?
Player number one, who is inside the top 100, but was drafted outside of the 250 as far as pre-draft rank was going, has been on a tear the last 30 days. So much so that, again, Bogman, you would say this is pretty close, right?
You're very close. Very, very close.
His father is not very loving to other communities.
Does his name rhyme with Schmartaway?
His name does rhyme with Schmim Schmartaway Jr. It is Tim Hardaway Jr., who the last two games has just been lighting the world on fire. 33 points, 21 points, lots of rebounds, steals, and he's a top 100 player over the last 30 days. That's how closely he ranked to Schmoladipo.
Schmoladipo!
Pretty interesting, right? I mean, look what
it's
we just...
It's very interesting. I tell you what, though. You do have to take Tim Hardaway's numbers with a grain of salt because one of those last two games was against the Rockets.
Yeah.
So, well, who are... quicklier and quicklier, just not playing any defense. It's funny. They were like middle of the pack for a while, and now they're not. So,
yeah. Got to give a little shout out to Marquise Serrano, who has been hitting me up on Facebook with some blind plays. He loves it. I've heard some others from some other people. So, I am glad that you have enjoyed playing the blind suitor game.
Serrano, you have to give him hats for bats.
That's right.
Keep bats warm.
You have no balls.
That's right. Not the line at all.
Is that not the line?
No, you have no marbles.
Marbles.
You have
no marbles.
He goes, marbles? Okay, my friend. And then he goes, huevos.
Huevos.
Huevos. We have that clip, actually.
Huevos.
Huevos. All right. Big things have been going down.
Phrasing.
And the only place that we can fully talk about it is in the Boner Garage.
Boner Garage, you're up. Oh, look at that. So excited and full of life. That'll fade.
Nikolai Jokic.
You said big things going down in this after Boner Huevos. Garage.
And after Huevos.
There's been a lot of dick and ball jokes in this episode today.
Well, Nikolai Jokic had his first triple-double, Bogman. And he
and
is
speaking
just...
of dick and balls, he hugged his coach, Bearass, after the game, after he got the game ball.
I heard about that. How uncomfortable would that be, too? Because you know those things are close to your chin.
Well, yeah, especially for me. When I'm, you know,
oh my God.
5'8".
They'd be on your forehead.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be like Cat Williams in that, you know, when he met Shaq.
Like, I got a new job. I just hold these things on my head as he walks around. So, yeah, well, Nikola Jokic had his first triple-double, and he just continuously just taking a large dump on you and I as he's good. But I'm on the train. Someone asked me just the other day, Miles Turner or Jokic, and I was like, well, it's Jokic. It's
easy. Oh, okay. So that means you're on the train now.
Yeah.
After you weren't on the train the entire year, one person asked you a question. Now you've been on the Jokic side
I'm like
side
Falcons
forever.
Fans. I was like Falcons fans. I'm on the train. Yeah, exactly. 25 triple-doubles for Westbrook, by the way. No big deal. He's going to break it before the All-Star break, like we said.
No, he's not, because the All-Star break is like in a week. But
you doubting that? Well, I guess we said 37, didn't we?
Yeah, we did say 37. He's not going to get 12 in a week. He doesn't have 12 games, the Welsh. Do math.
Well, right. No, I was just saying, I forgot it was 37. I was thinking it was like 30 or something. Yeah, Westbrook's ridiculous. Triple-doubles are just like, who even cares at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's boring. It's old hat. I didn't even put Harden on this list, and he had a 48-8 game.
Jesus Christ.
It's just old news. We know they're good.
I'm going to do the worst joke that every show is going to be doing right now. I'm going to do it. Hey, Bogman, how you want a little bit of the picnic basket?
The worst.
Hey, boo-boo. Hey, boo-boo.
Hey, boo-boo. Is there a delicious picnic basket?
Yogi face. You sound like a Guido doing it. You're like, yo. It's like Sylvester
Stallone.
Hey,
maybe there's a picnic basket over here.
Hey, yo. It's Adriana. You want a picnic basket?
Yogi Ferrell coming out of nowhere, though he's been amazing over the last 2 weeks. 32 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists. By the way, 9 3-pointers. 9 3-pointers. Get the f*** out of here. What are you talking about?
What the f*** is going on?
Yeah, where did this guy come from? By the way, you know, it's not like the Mavericks couldn't have used playmakers this year, right? They've been playing so much better recently. It's incredible.
How many podcasts have done this joke?
Jesus Christ with that. You hack.
Yogi. Tim Hardaway Jr., by the way, who we talked about. 25 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 turnover, and 3 threes. And then he had that 33-point game. He has been lit up.
Against the Rockets, yeah.
Yeah, Blake Griffin and his weird-looking face put up 29, 8, 5, 1, and 1.
That's the he's back game, right? That's the all right, he's kind of been slow, and boom.
Yep.
Blake Griffin is back. And then your boy Eric Bledsoe, 41-4-8 with 2 3-pointers, 13 of 15 from the line on Thursday.
So good.
Really, you know, it's funny because we've had a lot of injuries, but some of these guys are really starting to turn it up.
Yeah.
And you could have put so many more on the Boner Garage this week, too. I just, you know, you kind of had to limit it. There are so many guys with great weeks this week. It was a pretty incredible week.
This is a good transition, talking about Eric Bledsoe, as we go to buy, sell, trade, trade, trade. We talk about trades. I want to talk about this one that, like, we debunked right off the bat because we know a guy who also has debunked it, was this Suns-Kings trade stuff. I want to go there first because...
Oh, the cousin stuff?
Yeah,
because... Yeah, I didn't even put it on here, right?
There was rumors that DeMarcus Cousins and the Suns were talking, or the Kings and the Suns were talking about a trade that was in DeMarcus Cousins. Before we even talk about the trade, like, someone asked about that, and I was like, it's just, no, I don't think so. You know, Bruschi was on here like a month ago. We asked, you know, hey, do you think they could trade Cousins? And he didn't see any world where they did it. If anything, they're giving him the extension.
Right.
So I see those rumors and I just don't think it happens. Bruschi even responded saying he's heard nothing. Now, the reason behind it and why people go talking about this because it makes sense is because DeMarcus Cousins has a dream to play with Bledsoe. They're like best buddies because they played at Kentucky. Booker also played at Kentucky. So you've got like multiple Kentucky guys and they all want to, you know, do that thing. And Bledsoe's not getting traded to the Kings because they don't have any assets anymore. So that's where that comes from. I wouldn't put it past Ryan McDonough and the Suns to do something like this. They would do something like this. But then I saw the offer and I was just like, why would the Kings do this? It was Alex Len, TJ Warren, a first this year. And then it was like they could, I think the Suns control the Lakers first next year. And it was going to be something like that. And I just don't see.
I mean, that's a lot, but I mean, basketball is a sport where if you have one of the best players in the world, you hold them. You don't trade them. It's so hard to come by those guys because there's so few of them. Isn't it so strange how LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant are just like their own tier, and then everybody else is still really good, but no one's on the same level as those guys on the planet, on planet Earth. Out of 7-8 billion people, there's nobody nearly as good. So you keep those upper echelon players when you have them.
I totally agree. On a scale of 1 to 10, how likely do you think a King-Suns trade is to happen this season and then in the offseason? If it doesn't
for
happen.
Four Cousins?
Yeah, that Cousins trade. Maybe they put Knight in it. Maybe they're, you think 1 out of 10?
One.
I agree. I think it's a 1 or a 2 at best that it happens either. Like if Cousins doesn't get traded.
Like Cousins would have to like beat up a bunch of people and get arrested again. And then the Kings are just done. Yeah. Like that's the only way I see it happening.
I mean, the Suns are going to have a huge pick this year. So if they did commit to rebuilding, Alex Len, TJ Warren, and some picks would make sense, but you're still kind of missing out on the star power. Just don't think it's going to happen, so anybody that says it. And then when it happens, you know, I'll be excited.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, Bogman, we have a little bit of a garlic alert. Garlic alert.
I saw this and I was upset.
The Bulls are, they're inquiring about the availability of Jahlil Okafor.
They are, but it's just that. It's only, you know, they're only looking at touch, but don't taste.
It's like strip club.
But don't swallow. You know, the old Al Pacino in The Devil's Advocate.
It's a good one.
I was a little nervous about this, but I don't
happen.
Think it's going
to make it happen.
Well, if it happens today, then I'm in big trouble. But it's not going to happen today. And I still don't think Okafor is getting moved.
I don't think
Noel's getting moved either. So,
well,
I just don't think that the Sixers, you might, like, they don't have to trade a guy right now.
You might want to go to Safeway and get some garlic is all I'm saying. You might just want to
have some. Happens, but it hasn't happened yet. So stop putting that evil on me.
Don't you put that evil on me.
All right. The Nuggets are quietly exploring Moutier's market, which I don't know. I just think it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of a, hey, you know, I know the Cavs are looking for a point guard. Maybe you want Moutier.
What do they have to offer?
Picks.
Anything to offer. I mean, Moutier has not been great. He missed a handful of games. First game back against Memphis was pretty good, but he's played like 20 minutes or under in the last couple. He's just underperforming. He's just a turnover machine point guard who he's not a big distribution.
You're the Cavs. Would you rather have Moutier or Deron Williams?
Deron Williams.
Okay. I mean, I just think it's a fair question.
Yeah, I think they would. I think they want a ball. They don't need someone that's going to come in and score and turn the ball over eight times a game. They need someone who can distribute the ball to LeBron James and Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I just think that Moutier is just one of those options if they don't get one of the point guards.
Moutier's, he's a guy that needs to go to, like, Philly or New York. He just needs to go to somewhere where they can...
Or the new three-on-three league.
Yeah, sure. Ice Cube. He can play with Ice Cube. I don't care. He just needs to go somewhere where he can develop a little bit, where they're not trying to win, because I don't think he's a winning point guard right now. That's Denver, why he's perfect in Denver. Perfect. I know. It's right. A perfect spot for him. Speaking of which, you mentioned Deron Williams. The Cavs are interested in Bogut, Jameer Nelson, Deron Williams, all those names coming up. If there's ever been a time the Mavericks should look at trading Deron Williams, it's right now. When you got Seth Curry and Yogi Ferrell. Hey, hey. I love your face every time I do the Yogi impression.
God.
Yogi Bear.
Yeah, hey, Yogi Ferrell. They should trade Deron Williams.
Yeah, they should definitely trade Deron Williams. I just don't know if anyone is going to be a taker on him. But with Kyrie Irving having this barking hamstring again, that's twice this year. We know we've seen him in the past. I'm really afraid as far as fantasy goes of him getting shut down at the end of the year in your playoffs because of that.
I think they could get Deron for like a 2019 second round pick.
Something, you know, hopefully it's something.
I think it could happen.
It could definitely happen. So I think that trade, like if I had to pick a trade to actually happen, it's going to be the Cavs are getting a point guard. I don't think they're going to sign one of those clowns they worked out.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, Delonte West is available.
I don't think that's going to happen. If it does, get your Valtrax locker room.
Man, what do we have? We have like a tag team match. It could be like Charles Barkley and Delonte West versus like LeBron James and
his mother.
And man,
that's not nice.
Someone's getting effed. the last one here. The Wolves offered apparently Shabazz Muhammad for PJ Tucker to the Suns, and then we have something we're going to talk about here that I still think would have worked out for it. I'm not surprised the Suns didn't take it, though. Are you?
No, I'm not. I think they could get something better. They could get your boy Evan Turner or somebody from
Portland. I don't want Evan Turner.
I want him more than I want Shabazz Muhammad.
I think they could get a young guy, or they can just get like a pick.
Get a pick
from a team that's, you know, in the contention. I'm trying to think of who. It's like a Boston. You know, go get Boston's first round pick this upcoming year and trade PJ Tucker over there.
Right, something. Yeah. I did hear, I didn't put this on the list, but I heard today, I don't know how reliable the source was, that the Rockets are kicking the tires on Serge Ibaka. So Serge and James Harden would be back together on the same team.
That would be a great move for the Rockets.
Yeah, I don't know how it works. I'm probably assuming
have to trade Sam Decker.
Maybe or a Capella.
Capella. Yeah, you're right.
I'm Harrell, maybe.
Sam Decker would make more sense for Orlando.
It'd be funny if Ryan Anderson went back to Orlando after leaving Orlando.
That would be pretty good. The trade stuff is definitely picking up. I'm hoping to get some more coverage of it here soon. As soon as we hear some stuff. I mean, moves just aren't really happening. But you got a lot of low-end performing guys that are playing up, like a Yogi Ferrell. And you have like the Suns who are just tanking down, and they're going to move Tyson. Tyson Chandler is playing out of his mind, by the way. You go look at his double-double a game over the last month.
He's going to get moved, right, the Welsh?
He's got to get moved.
You're saying it. You've only said it for the last couple of years. He's going to get moved. Brandon Knight, too.
To get moved. Tucker, Knight, and Chandler all have to get moved. The Suns are in the dump house. I think
if all three of those guys stay and none of them get traded, you have to eat a bulb of garlic. All three of them? I mean, how likely is that?
Okay, I agree. If all three of them stay, I think you might be right. I might have to.
Oh, now see, he's going to bitch out if they don't, because he said you might be right. Let's just say it.
Yeah.
Let's just say it, the Welsh. Yeah, probably. I will eat a full bulb of garlic if none of those three Suns players gets traded. You can say that,
yeah,
right?
I'll probably eat a bulb of garlic.
That's not saying I will, you jerk.
I probably will.
I had some garlic bread the other day, and I just had to take two heartburn pills.
Really?
This is going to be horrible.
I haven't had bread in a week. I know. Sorry. I miss it.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break right here at the trade section, and we are going to go and visit a very special guest in the next segment. I don't know if you guys ever heard of her. Some of you might be younger. Maybe some of you didn't watch Comedy Central late at night into your 20s. But I think we may have a hotline ad person.
Call me joining now. Us. Call me now. Perhaps. Don't go anywhere.
From the other side of, as it were, Miss Cleo might be joining
Cleo
us.
Bogdan. So. Cleo man.
Stick around for that, boy. We will be right back after these messages on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network now.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
If you don't know, now you know. So call me now. Call me now for your injury card readings.
It's Miss Cleo Bogman. Hello, everyone. How you doing? Call me now for your reading. Oh. I listen to your guy, by the way, on who's the guy, the two for the money guy?
Oh, the Stu Ebner, whatever.
Stu Fine, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. His name was. Yeah, Ralph Fiennes, who's playing Michael Jackson and looks horrific. Yeah,
Ralph Fiennes.
He is, by the way. He's playing Michael Jackson. Have you seen the picture? Type it in right now.
That's
Ralph,
a joke.
No, I wish it was. I wish. But Ralph Fiennes, Michael Jackson, and I'm so excited to see the horror that's going to come up in your face. I have this video recording, and I might even post it if you truly get to see the picture that I saw.
This can't be real. Hold on. Pulling it up now. My computer's going really slow. Let me go to...
Just delete
you mean
that.
Joseph Fiennes, not Ralph Fiennes.
Whatever. A Fiennes.
Well, Ralph Fiennes looks like Liam Neeson. So that's,
Ralph Fiennes is his dad. It's like the Elephant Man.
Oh,
Joseph Fiennes, you're right.
What is... Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's happening.
I mean, they might have made a decent choice, though, now that I'm looking at it.
All right, well, we got to get back to it. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep. I need to talk to Miss Cleo Bogman.
Hello, my child. How you doing now?
Well, I'm not doing so good, Miss Cleo Bogman. I'm having some injuries. These podcasters keep talking about players getting hurt, and they keep going down. Zach LaVine just went down for the season. Miss Cleo Bogman, who else am I going to lose?
His name is Zach LaVine, you hayseed. You always call him Zach LaVine. I tell you what, boy, some of these other players are going to go down. Danilo Gallinari can never stay healthy. He's gone, boy. Your boy, the process, Joel Embiid, keeps missing the games now. He's gone. He's gone, boy. He's gone, girl.
Miss Cleo Bogman, what about... He's gone, girl. It's Cleo Bogman. What about James Harden?
James Harden is going to be fine. Don't you dare put his name in your mouth. You get his name right out of your mouth, boy. Rodney Hood is going to be on and off the list, boy. He's back out again.
What about Kyrie Irving, Miss Cleo Bogman?
Kyrie Irving is in and out, boy. He's gone now. Like, I can only do boy now.
You say boy after everything. Well,
Jimmy Butler went for an MRI on Sunday. He's going to be gone.
Two for the injury, boy. Poor Jimmy Butler. All right.
Right near the beach, boy.
We have just, we opened up the floodgates. Everybody's getting hurt. Everybody's dying. Hide
Anyone
your kids, hide your wife.
Balaban's team now.
Oh, poor Balaban. He sent us a message on Facebook, and he was like, you want to know who the next injury is? Look at my team. He said, like, six guys get hurt.
It's ridiculous.
It's pretty bad.
Not even get, and they're not droppable players either.
No.
You know, it's all like Joel Embiid's and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Zach LaVine, because I am a hayseed and I keep calling him LaVine, out for the season. And Shabazz Muhammad kind of just jumps into that territory. Though
I like the way you say Shabazz, boy.
Shabazz. They've got a bunch of different lineups that they can mess with. We'll talk to Gallagher about it. But to me, I'm going Shabazz Muhammad. I picked him up in our league, Bogman. But I couldn't pick him up in any other league that we do. So
yeah, Shabazz. I'm not really sold on him yet.
He's a scorer.
Yeah,
that's the problem, though. You're not getting
a fat scorer, though. He's like the big dude on that. I don't know. He's just always had conditioning problems, so I always worry about
him. I mean, you stand him next to Levine, and yeah, it's a big difference.
Well, yeah, I mean, you stand anybody next to me, and sure.
The problem with him, he's inherently a scorer, and you still got Towns and Wiggins, who are those guys on that team. But if he's going to get increased minutes, he's worth taking a look at. I picked him up.
He just doesn't do stuff and things, man. That's why it bothers me. Like, I think Bielitsa might have more run.
And they can have Rubio out there and Wiggins and then Bielitsa.
I'm excited about Chris Middleton. Screw all these injuries.
Yeah. No,
Chris
you're right
Middleton is coming back Wednesday, son.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited about that. I wish I could have gotten him in a single league. We've been talking about him for a while.
He's still under 50% owned before we go to the pickups.
I've had questions.
50% in ESPN.
Bachman, I have had questions about picking up Middleton.
Drop whoever.
Jokic or Middleton?
Within reason. I mean, you know. Yeah, I mean, you drop Yogi Ferrell for Chris Middleton, don't you, the Welsh?
Hey, Bogman. I'm going to pick up a Chris Middleton.
Oh, my God. All right, well, let's just do it. Well, we didn't mention the trade, the blockbuster trade, the Welsh. Did you not hear about this trade? Miles Plumlee to the Hornets. And Hibbert and Hawes to the Bucks, so we could just have more screwy crap in the Bucks front court.
I forgot about that. Who was it again? It was Plumlee for Hawes.
Hawes and Roy Hibbert.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's his blah. Blah.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you Who believe cares until Plumlee the Bucks got $50 million?
Yeah, I think when you're reading that, they're like, they found somebody to take his $50 million contract. And I was like, what?
What? The worst spending. The worst. Yeah. Like, oh, God, those contracts just make me sick. You're right about that. But Chris Middleton, he would be full-on pickup, full-on acquire. I wish I could get him somewhere. I'm all in. I want to do some quizzing with Gallagher on Chris Middleton, because this is one of those. This might be the opportunity. This might be the opportunity to get a stud player at a cheaper cost, or it might be the time to trade a quote-unquote stud player and get a huge return, because he's coming back from a pretty serious injury. So we'll kind of cover that with Gallagher.
Yeah, let's cover that with Gallagher. But for now, let's go to the pickups and the drops. All right, the Welsh pickups here. We've got some really good ones. We've got Seth Curry, Yogi Ferrell, TJ McConnell, Dion Waiters, Ivica Zubac, Chris Middleton, Brandon Jennings, Courtney Lee, PJ Tucker, Tim Hardaway Jr.
Boy.
This is tough, man.
So let's
I think
not count
I'm
going to
ask you for five.
Let's not count Middleton at all, because he's the number one. Pick him up now.
Okay, so if it's not Middleton, who's your number one? Because I see three candidates. Tim Hardaway Jr.,
yep.
Seth Curry, Dion Waiters.
Yeah, and then you also have Zubac and our buddy Yogi Ferrell.
I don't want Zubac. He only got like 4 minutes the other night. He's just too in and out. But
Zubac has been, I don't know. Zubac is, he's been a nice little surge. Yeah, I guess his last two have been kind of poop, but 17-6, 16-10, 12-10. He's got to play over 20 minutes, and yeah, his last two games for whatever
McConnell.
Reason.
McConnell's still in there too, and if PJ Tucker gets traded to, you know, a good team.
Okay.
I don't know.
Or Waiters?
I think I'm going with Hardaway.
Seth Curry or Hardaway?
Hardaway. I think Hardaway is my one.
Okay, so he's your one. I'm not sure I disagree with that. I might agree with that. Waiters or Curry?
Waiters.
Agreed. Yogi or Curry?
Curry.
Why are you hating on me?
God damn it.
Okay. I actually think I agree
McConnell
with that whole setup.
In here too.
PJ Tucker. It's great.
Think I would want McConnell over Curry.
Really, the question is, let's go take a look at the drops and you could start looking. I'm going to ask you this real quick. One of the guys on the drops list is Derek Favors, who's just tumbling down. Yeah. Would you drop Derek Favors for Tim Hardaway Jr.?
Yes.
Fuck.
I know. That's what I almost put it in the Gallagher questions, but I didn't want to waste time talking about Derek Favors with Gallagher. But is Derek Favors ownable to you in a 12-man standard?
I mean, probably. Like, this is he's the epitome.
He had a decent game the other day.
He's the epitome of everything I have a problem with. I don't know how to deal with it because, yeah, he had a 10-10 and an 18-5, and then he went poop, and then he missed two games, and then he played 10 minutes against Charlotte. I'd have a really hard time dropping him.
2 years ago, he was a second-round pick, dude.
He was 28 was his pre-rank on Yahoo this season. I'm not going to kill you if you dropped Favors for
Waiters
or Hardaway. I don't know if I could do it for Curry or anybody else here.
I think I could do it for Curry and McConnell. I don't think I could do it for Yogi. Man. I think that's where you're getting close.
Yeah, that's pretty. Let's
if Darren Williams gets moved, I can absolutely do it for Yogi.
Yeah, I do.
Drops list. All right. We have Enos, the chair-punching penis, Malcolm Brogdon, Darren Williams, Tyreek Evans, Will Barton, Cody Zeller, Garrett Temple, Brandon Ingram, Derek Favors, TJ Warren. Decent players on this list.
Yeah. I mean, the ones off the top of my head that I don't want to, but let's take a look at the numbers here. I feel like I don't want to drop the Brogdon, man.
Well, that's because Middleton's coming back.
Yeah. No, I understand that, but... I mean, would it be unheard of for Giannis, Brogdon, and Middleton to all play together?
I mean, the problem is we have no idea what crazy-ass Jason Kidd is going to do, right? I mean,
imagine this lineup, Bogman. You have Giannis, Brogdon, then you have Middleton, and you have Parker, and then at center is just whatever dumpster fire that he puts out. Henson, whatever. I think they could do it. I think Brogdon could get his 20 minutes.
But they've been playing Delly, though.
Delly. But that's just coming off the bench. I don't know. I guess I could see it. I would probably drop Brogdon for Hardaway, Waiters. I don't know if I drop him for Curry, though.
I think I would drop him. Yeah, I would drop Brogdon for all those guys that we mentioned before.
I'm not so sure he goes off.
I'm going to be out on him until I see how the lineup works, because I think Dellavedova is going to stick, and he's not.
You might be right about that. Another person that on this list I was uncomfortable with, and I've told people I wouldn't drop him yet for the most part, is TJ Warren, and he's been pretty damn good his last two games, played 36 minutes and 37.
In a row? 37?
Went 25-5-1-1, and then 10-8-4-1 after a pretty big string of kind of black games, but I've said it here for a long time. The reason that you want TJ Warren is because he's a second half guy. The Suns are going to move Tucker. They're going to move Knight. Let's pray to God they do, or I'm eating stuff. They're going to move Chandler, and they're going
probably eating stuff.
Probably.
Right.
They're going to lose some of these assets that are taking minutes away from guys like Chris or Warren. Warren's going to be the small forward unless they did this ridiculous Cousins trade. So he's a second half guy. He's heavier in points, but he gets you some rebounds. He gets you steals, and the percentages are pretty dang good. So, I mean, I'm holding on to TJ Warren. I want to hold on to Warren. I want to hold on to Brogdon. I kind of want to hold on to Darren Williams on this list just from trade potential. And Brandon
he's just
Ingram.
Been
Brandon.
Hurt. And, yeah, Ingram was a guy I wanted to point out because, you know, the Lakers are not going to the playoffs. And
breaking.
The young guys.
Breaking.
Young guys, yeah, breaking news. The young guys are going to get more and more minutes. And Ingram, he did break out of his shooting slump last night where he had 14 points and shot 50% with the six boards and his dime. But I think Ingram could get more and more playing time, become better and better, and find a bigger role. So he's tough to drop, but I think I would drop him for any of these pickups that we talked about. Hardaway, you're dropping Ingram. Obviously Middleton. Waiters, McConnell, Farrell, and Curry. The only guy I might not drop him for yet is Farrell, and I think I still would. So
it's tough. Yeah, these are some tough drops, but those are the big names. If I could, I'd avoid the Warren, the Ingram, the Darren, and the Brogdon. Cantor, bye-bye. Tyreek, I kind of get. Barton, I get. Zeller's been off and on. Temple, I get. It's a tough list. Great pickups and tough drops to make this week. All right, well, there you go. There's your pickups. There's your drop. All your fantasy basketball news, but don't go anywhere. There's a whole another hour of Bogman and I, the collective size. Oh, there's more. Yes, there is. We're going to talk a little bit of baseball on the first segment here coming out. We're going to be joined by Mike Gallagher from Roto World to talk more fantasy basketball, and it's themed. We're doing the Spaceballs themed fantasy basketball news. It'll be great. Trust me, you're going to want to be a part of it. So don't go anywhere. Hour two is coming up of In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back. It's hour two of In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am your host, Chris Welsh. That is Scott Bogman right there. Like I said, all hate messages at Bogman Sports.
What the hell did I do?
Well, no, I'm just saying. I'll say all the nice things to me, and you can take the bad things. I can't take the bad things.
Well, that's true, but I don't want them.
Who do you think I am right now? I'm the Patriots of hosts. You're the Falcons. You can take this. You'll survive. You'll grow back. You're a young team, Bogman.
Did you see the choke thing that they put up on someone put up on our Facebook discussion?
Oh my God, yeah. It was the new sign for choking. It was a person around with their hands around their throat, and it said the new one, and it was just the Falcons logo.
No, I'm talking about the one that had, instead of saying Coke, it said choke.
Oh.
And then it said official drink of the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh. Do you see the people that they molded the Atlanta Falcons logo into the Golden State Warriors?
No.
It's brutal. It's brutal. Bogman had a fantastic question at the beginning of the first hour. I just wanted to revisit for 1 second. If you have a take on it, please let us know. @IsItTheWelsh, @BogmanSports. The take is, if Brady wins a sixth ring, is he a bigger athlete? Is he the bigger name than Jordan? Who's better? Who's better in their respective sport? Who will be thought of in the higher realm? I mean, Jordan's a whole nother level, but winning six Super Bowls, if he can pull that off, I mean, I would say he's already up there with five right now. If he has a sixth Super Bowl ring, Brady versus Michael Jordan, who is bigger? And it's going to be tough if you're a basketball or a football only guy. So really think about it, because I think it's a fascinating question. I mean, if you're talking pure athleticism, I'm going to lean Jordan. But
well,
I think
it's more of the player, not the athlete, because anytime you see athlete, it's Bo Jackson, right? Bo Jackson wins it.
Yeah, sure.
So it should probably be said,
dominating,
who is
the most
player for their sport.
I mean,
you know,
to win, like, if you were to do like basketball to football calculations, like six championship rings in basketball to me is like three in football, or maybe four in football.
Think so?
I think it is. I think maybe like four in football. And I mean, think about the parity in football and how hard it is to win. I think it's almost near impossible. So I would say six basketball rings equals four Super Bowls. So to put up a fifth and then to maybe go six, it's otherworldly to me. It would be hard to take Brady over Michael Jordan because of how hated Brady was. And Jordan, I mean, if you were a Bulls fan or not, you grew up and you were just, it was all Jordan to you. But I think it's the best question. I would be shocked if Jordan got more than 60% of the votes, because I think Brady belongs there.
Yeah, I think it's razor thin, too. I absolutely do. Is there any, do you think there's a baseball player that belongs in that group?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Jeter, baseball is a whole nother thing, you know. 10 championships would probably equal four in football or something like that. You know, what does it really equal out to? I mean, I suppose the dynasty's kind of gone in baseball for the most part. But it'd probably be Jeter, because how many World Series did Jeter have?
I think he won five, didn't he?
Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, put that in there, too. Jeter, Brady, or Jordan. Jesus, that's ridiculous. That's totally ridiculous. Speaking of baseball, by the way, I just wanted to point this out. I thought this was interesting. I had been saying, if you listen to our baseball podcast or any of our podcasts at InThisLeague.com, make sure that you go check it out. Subscribe on iTunes so you get all of them in their full nature. I had been preaching all second half last season, all preseason, all offseason, because we've been doing shows in the offseason, that I thought Kyle Schwarber would get catcher eligibility on Yahoo. You didn't necessarily disagree or anything like that, but a lot of people were like, well, you're crazy.
I brought it up first, by the way. I definitely brought it up before you did.
Yeah, well, regardless, I've been championing
it. You mentioned it more times than
I'm
I
a
did.
Soapbox about Kyle Schwarber getting eligibility on Yahoo, and everybody said it wouldn't happen. Well, Yahoo opened up on March or February 1st, maybe? Was that it?
Yeah, January 26th.
Something like that.
They didn't allow no drafts until last Wednesday.
First thing that pops up, I go look at Kyle Schwarber, bam, catcher eligibility, and the internet blew up. I tweeted about it.
They play enough games. I don't know why it was that surprising
okay.
to everybody.
They gave an explanation. And I always thought this, and this was my logic behind it, because I was talking with Sammy Reed about this from Baseballholics, where he was like, said what you said. He didn't play enough games. And I said, but he also didn't play enough games to fully qualify at another position. You know what I mean? Like, had he played 10 games and they were all in the outfield, or started 5 games in the outfield, then I could see why they would take that away. He had 4 at bats.
Well, yeah, my point was he didn't play enough games last season to change any of his eligibility from the year before.
That's exactly
that was my point. And I said that before. Like, to me, I just kind of rolled my eyes when people said he wasn't going to get catcher eligibility. So, well, if he had it the year before, he's going to have it the next year. He only, like you said, 4 at bats. How can that qualify as a season?
I thought to take away eligibility, he needed to play enough games that would qualify eligibility at a position. And he didn't play enough games to even qualify at a certain position, so they would hold it over. Well, I tweeted at Yahoo about it, and a lot of people did. Ray Flowers, our buddy Ray Flowers, had tweeted about it from Fantasy Alarm, and Yahoo tweeted me back, and they're like, yep, you nailed it. And then we found out what happened, because Ray Flowers was kind of on about it, that Yahoo said they had a panel, they had a discussion about it, and they awarded him an injury exemption from the panelists of Yahoo rankers. They awarded an injury exemption, and I got to tell you, I agree with it. I know most don't, and some people were like, okay, yeah, now I have qualifications and whatever, and some people were pissed because of trades, but like you and I both said, he never qualified, he never played enough to qualify or take away qualifications anywhere. So I'm kind of game.
I'm just really surprised it got as much buzz as it did, to be honest with you. Because to me, it wasn't really an issue or a thing even. It was, he's gonna have catcher eligibility. He had 4 at-bats. What, did he play 2 games last year?
I think he played 1 game. I think he didn't get hurt like in the first game.
I don't think it was the first
game.
He
had 3 at-bats, and then he got hurt like after his first at-bat in the second game. You're right about that.
Well, it was, I think, didn't he get hurt here in Phoenix?
I don't remember. No, I don't think so, because we opened up against the Rockies.
That's what I'm saying, is we opened up against the Rockies, and then we played the Cubs the next weekend. So it was that second weekend.
Nah, because he would have had at-bats. He wouldn't have not played.
I think maybe he didn't play, man. So I don't know. I can't remember how many at-bats he had. But regardless, he didn't have...
He had 4 at-bats on the season. Yeah, that's all he had. He had 4 at-bats in the entire season, however many games that was. 4 freaking at-bats. You're not going to change eligibility because of 4 at-bats. Just because he might play outfield the majority of his time, you don't take away that eligibility. Every site did, except for Yahoo. And Yahoo is very liberal in their qualifications and stuff. But I'm for it. I don't know about you. I bet the majority of people here would say no, but... Is it the Welsh Bogman Sport? Tell Bogman how much you hate that eligibility at Bogman Sports, and tell him how much you love it. Tell me at Is It the Welsh, right?
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I don't know if I'm for it or against it. I think that if he doesn't play catcher at all this year, I'll probably roll my eyes at him still getting catcher qualification. But I think he'll play a little bit of catch this year. I'm hoping anyway. And I'm glad he is, because I am in a couple keeper leagues. And now I know what I'm doing with my catcher spot. So.
Yeah, damn right. I think it bumps him up. If you want to find out about how much it bumps him up, what we think about it, we will cover it more here on this show every Wednesday, 8 to 10 Eastern. But even this week on our Fantasy Baseball podcast, tune in. We're going to be breaking down some ADPs from NFBC and Yahoo. And we're going to be talking about the comparisons on them. What does that do with NFBC's current rankings of Schwarber? Where is he sitting on Yahoo? We're going to be doing a whole bunch of breakdown on that on this week's ITL Fantasy Baseball podcast, so check that out, and you get future stuff right here. But don't go anywhere. Mike Gallagher from RotoWorld is going to join us, and we're doing a Spaceballs-themed basketball conversation. Zach Levine is out. Chris Middleton is coming in. Player debates and a whole bunch more to the theme of Spaceballs, so don't go anywhere. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
We need it, all we do is dirty deep with a baseball.
joining us now from deep, deep space, Bogman. They jam
1987 space.
1980, actually, yeah, we're actually going back into a time loop into 1987 for one of the greatest movies of all time. But joining us is not the director or writer of it, but super fan like I am, Lone Star Mike Gallagher from Roto World. What's up, brother?
President Scroob, salute!
Salute!
President Scroob, salute!
So much, man. Pump, man. Get to work in all these Spaceballs quotes. Ran over here because if I would have walked, the movie would have been over.
Gallagher, you really went all out. You, I love it because as Bogman and I said earlier in the show, we said there's nothing that talks to a young audience like calling back to a 1987 movie. But I can't help it. Some of my favorite movies... No. And I'm not that old, but some of my favorite movies were those 80s comedies of like, I mean, I love The Jerk, which I think might have been the 70s.
Oh, God,
Three Amigos and Spaceballs are three of my all-time favorite movies, and Gallagher shares this with me. Every time Spaceballs is on, I watch it, I own it, and I'm just waiting for the appropriate time where my children can actually watch it. I'll have to wait just a little bit. All right, so
I'm not nearly as big of a Spaceballs fan as you guys are, but I get it. Like, I understand the obsession because I have that with movies, too.
And hopefully everybody's watching it. So before we dive deep into these Spaceball-centric questions that we have for you, all related to fantasy basketball for this week, is there anything that we need to know that's going down with you? Pods, articles, what's going on in Gallagher's world?
We're going to do the metamorphosis and talk about me. Ready, Kafka?
Yeah. Is the Schwartz strong with you right now, Mike Gallagher?
Yes. I got the liquid Schwartz in my keyboard. It's been typing away, feeling pretty good. But yeah, man, pods. We may add another pod for DFS because football season ends today and been getting a lot of requests. So if you're listening to this and you play DFS and you want me to encourage my boss to give us another pod, holla, and I'll send it over. And yeah, I do blurbs like crazy. Oh, I did so many injuries right now, man.
I know. It's, I know. We opened the floodgates. Like, I know. We called Cleo Bogman earlier to say, call me now. Who's going
call
to be
me
the next?
Now. I'll tell you who's injured now, boy.
Yeah, all the injuries are happening. So speaking of which, there's no better way than to jump into this to go.
No. Please. No, not that.
Yes, that.
It is the Zach LaVine injury. Break this down for me, brother, because this is a big, big injury to, I mean, yeah, it's not like earth shattering. He's a top 50 player, but it's big enough in that realm. He's down. Shpazu Muhammad might be the guy that jumps up. What do you think? How are you reacting to the LaVine injury?
LaVine, yeah, that's big, man. I mean, that's one of the biggest injuries of the season, if not the biggest. Yeah. I am a sad, sad man. I have him in my 30-man league. I'm in first place, and I also stashed Chris Middleton. So the day Friday, I'm like, oh yeah, baby, Middleton, championship again, repeat. And next day, I lost LaVine. So brutal. But anyways, so you got to look at a few guys. What are they going to do? So earlier in December, they didn't have Muhammad, and they went with Nemanja Bjelica, who played really well, had career highs. But now that Muhammad's playing well, he's interesting. And then another guy who played well was Tyus Jones. He played 14 minutes next to Rubio, so in addition to the backup point guard, although Chris Dunn didn't play. They did close out with Rubio, Tyus, Wiggins, Baz, and Kat. So they didn't go with Jang. And they didn't go with Brandon Rush. Brandon Rush, by the way, I'll rank him in a little bit. So I'm going to give you the story here. He played 18 minutes in the first half and then 5 minutes in the second half. This guy played 38 minutes a game in his previous two starts. I mean, you cannot play Brandon Rush 35 minutes consistently for the rest of the season. And we saw that. And I think Tibbs saw like the first half. I was like, yeah, man, this guy's not a 27-minute-a-game player. So they may start him. They may give him like 24 minutes. He had a huge game before. So really, if I'm looking for pickups, I'm probably going, and I'm not really bending over backwards to pick up any of these guys right now. I would probably go Baz first, and then I guess Tyus Jones, and then Rush, and then Bjelica. I think Bjelica will get some run, and I think the plan was yesterday was, okay, we lost LaVine. We just found out today. What are we going to do? Oh, we use this slant before. Let's use that. So now that he has a couple days to get in the lab, figure out what he likes, figure out who he wants to play with other guys, I think that time off will help him get reacquainted and go with other combinations, like maybe starting Muhammad and pushing Wiggins to the two, which we've seen on occasion, like with the Bielitsa thing. It's going to be very matchup-centric.
Do you think with those rumors that the Wolves had offered Shabazz Muhammad to the Suns for P.J. Tucker, do you think it can intensify the Suns making a move? Not that necessarily P.J. Tucker is a shooting guard, though he can play it. The guy can play a 3, a 4, he can play a 5, really, if you wanted to play small ball. Do you think it's going to intensify them trying to acquire someone that could hurt Shabazz, or do you think they're going to kind of stay pat? Because they've got a couple trade tools, chips. They've had Rubio, because Dunn could come up. They now lose LaVine. What do you think?
Not really. I mean, I don't think that swap makes sense. I mean, I think that injury makes Muhammad a better asset. He's a much more better offensive player. That's kind of the way their team is built. And I mean, I don't really see Tucker meshing with guys like Wiggins, and Tucker's playing a lot of four right now. So he's been really good in that role. I guess we'll talk about him when we talk about pickups and stuff. But yeah, I don't really see the trade impact as a, when I go to pick on Muhammad, I'm not thinking like, oh no, he may get traded.
What about LaVine and Keeper then, real quick, and we'll move on from him. But like, what are you doing if you own him in a keeper league? And I mean, yeah, I suppose you could put him on the IL. But let's say you're in contention. Would you trade him for 75 cents on the dollar, or is he a strong hold?
Tough question, because I mean, like you said, if you're going for it and you know that is going to hold you back, and it's going to be like, say you're in first place and two three teams on your tail, I mean, you just lost probably your fourth or fifth best player. That hurts, man. So
someone comes in and offers you like Tim Hardaway and Deion Waiters for your team.
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
Okay.
What? Okay, give me like an appropriate guy, like the bottom barrel type of guy that you would give up LaVine for.
Well, I want someone, I guess if I'm going for it, I want someone older.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, hardcore. I haven't thought about keepers much lately. I mean,
like, okay, here, how about this? Like a Eric Gordon and Tim Hardaway.
No.
Still no. Okay. So we need a better name if we're trading.
I'm not doing two. I would never do a 2-for-1, like, ever.
Okay, so it's got to be a Stan Pat, better guard. Probably
like,
not.
Okay, like LaMarcus I would consider. Gortat I would consider.
Trevor Ariza.
Yeah, I would consider Ariza if I was going for it.
What about Gary Harris?
Ariza's been bad too.
I like Gary Harris, but I would shoot higher. I mean, when you pick up Harris, like if you're going to trade a guy when you're going for it, you want to trade a guy to help you go for it. I don't think Harris is going to really be a difference maker. You'd want to have a guy that really fits your roster. And
Teague?
For sure. I would take Teague even over a healthy LaVine.
Let's see.
Very close anyways.
I'm just thinking a keeper because LaVine's so young.
Okay, I got one more. Nerlens Noel.
Easily LaVine. I can't do Noel, man.
Okay, all right.
Not gonna do it.
That's the wrong reference to this show, but Spaceballs wise, it's not it. Bogman.
I'll bring it back.
Oh no, leave me alone. Yes, no, kiss me. Oh yes, no. Oh yes, no, no, no. Oh yes.
Sir. No, I wasn't playing with my dolls. Bogman, are we going to go to warp speed now?
Go to ludicrous speed.
Ludicrous speed. Sir, we've never gone that fast before. I don't know if the ship can take us. What's the matter, Colonel Sanders? Chicken?
Chris Middleton is back Wednesday. Gallagher, does he step in and become a top 50 player immediately? And by the time March comes, is he going to be a top 30 guy?
Immediately? No.
He's got to work his way back in. Phrase.
I mean, look at the timeline. He was shooting late December. He was starting to do on-court work early January. He was starting to ramp up mid-January. He felt like he was ready to go about a week and a half ago. And then he said last Friday, so, week and a half, he felt like, okay, I'm ready to go. So he's been ready to go for a week and a half, which is great to hear. So you figure he comes in, he has, what, 3-4 games before the break, and that'll help get him going, springboard him, and then probably another week after that. So like in that, from now to March, I think I'd expect like top 80, but then after March, I'm probably looking like top 45, top 50.
Like basically, so you expect to climb, but just a slower climb. That's all.
I mean, it should be. It's not going to be super slow. I mean, it's not going to be like Chandler Parsons last year before he fell off a cliff. Like, he was really bad, and then he got better and better and better. Then bam, all of a sudden he was red hot, and then he got hurt. This year, it's obviously Chandler Parsons is not that guy. But yeah, it should be pretty steady, man. Like, pretty much, I would say a month from now, he's going to be a guy that that could be a difference maker for you. Like I said, he's a swap. He's like a great Levine swap.
That's a no-brainer to me. I would want Middleton no-brainer in the keeper format because he was no question. Yeah. So I totally agree if you can make that happen. We were talking earlier. What do you think it does to Brogdon? What do you think this effect does? Do you think it destroys him? Because I didn't think it would fully.
I mean, he's getting about 8 minutes at the two. So you take about 33% of his production with more shots that are going to go away. With Middleton's going to be probably about 24 usage rate. Going to have less ball handling responsibility, man. Kills him. Cut him. I would cut him for a number of guys, man. I've been telling everyone to cut him for Pau Gasol.
He gone.
I totally agree with that. So that's good to hear. Actually, that would have been something good for us to have looked up, Bogman, is the amount of minutes he was playing at the two, because I think that's important. And you're right. I mean, if he's going to have a third of his minutes cut from that position and Jason Kidd doesn't find those minutes somewhere else, then he is going to get killed on there.
Chris, and then another reason is, if I can just add, Dellavedova is a little bit of a better ball handler, Brogdon's a better catch and shoot guy, so Middleton fits that role better. He would fit better with a Dellavedova and a Giannis and all those guys. So Brogdon's skill set isn't quite as valuable as it was before. And preseason, I was like, "Oh, Brogdon, man, skill set's so nice to fill in for Middleton." And he's back, and Middleton's been fantastic. He's going to make the All Rookie team, or at least second team All Rookie for sure. Easily the best second round pick this year.
Last thing on Middleton, real quick, is that. You're not going to be, if you're saying he's going to be for the short term here, a top 80-ish player, maybe for the next month or something like that, you're not going to get Chris Middleton for a top 80 player. Are you aggressive enough to want to own him that you would trade above kind of that value you perceive him for the next month? What's the high end that you would be willing to move to get Chris Middleton? Would you trade Trevor Ariza?
No. I mean, it would depend on where I am in the standings. If I'm in eighth place, ninth place, and I'm like, oh man, my team needs a boost. This guy is kind of just middling, no pun intended. I would be a little bit more apt to do that. But yeah, Ariza's good, man. He's been cool.
I totally agree.
Yeah, I would take, even obviously healthy, if we knew Middleton was healthy all season, I would take him. But Ariza's been better than expectations, man. He's pretty much what Middleton would have been. He's been hanging around second, third round value, a lot of threes. He's cooled off a lot lately.
How about the guys you talked about trading to get, in a keeper format that you might trade Levine for? What about a Gortat or Aldridge? Would you trade those guys to get Middleton?
I would I hate what I've seen out of LaMarcus Aldridge. I wouldn't do Gortat at all. He's been good. Really good. Most consistent 5 straight double-doubles in a row. Shooting 72% from the field in his last 5. Making free throws. His blocks are down, but he's been killer, man. He's going to play big minutes, and they're going for playoffs. But yeah, Aldridge scares me, man. I hate older guys, especially on the Spurs with sore knees. Very scary, man. So yeah, their upside's pretty much similar. Both, when they're both going strong, they both have that top 30, top 25 kind of feel. I'd rather have the Bucks going for their playoff seeding, a guy who's going to get rested. They're both going to get rested, probably about the same. So I think Middleton's upside's higher, and when it's playoffs final time, Middleton's less likely to get rested than Aldridge. Aldridge's going to probably rest every other game in the last week and a half of the season in the finals. So that's going to be annoying.
What about, I want you to first please nerd out on Yogi Ferrell, and then tell me.
Please nerd out.
Hey, boo boo. We did Big Nick Basket.
Ah, I got Gallagher doing it.
Everybody does it.
I love it,
man.
What about Darren Williams?
There's so many good Yogi gifts, man. If you go into the Twitter thing, I was firing off probably 20 Yogi gifts when he went off that night against Portland.
All right, so nerd out on Yogi real quick. How much is Yogi or the LaVertical?
It's got to be Yogi right now. My boy, I swung and missed on LaVertical a little bit. Not because he doesn't play well, because the coaching staff got him. So, you got to take the guy who's going to play, and the guy who's playing well. And they just, when a guy's in the 10-day deal, you think, okay, is he going to stay or is he going to go? Next morning, signed. So,
yeah,
he's not going anywhere. Darren Williams is hurt. He's on the trade block. He hasn't been very good. Rick Carlisle.
Is there a way they don't trade Darren Williams now? Like, they have to, right?
Ideally, they do. I mean, they're playing well, though. I mean, they've won five straight, and they've won five straight against pretty good teams. Blazers, Sixers, no. Cavs, Spurs, Nuggets are pretty good, and that was without Farrell. So this guy's 4-0 as a starting point guard. My boy, and I was so pumped for Pierre. Imagine if Pierre Jackson didn't mess up his hamstring, man. It would be...
the world would be different. It'd be a different world.
Rick Carlisle is a point guard whisperer, man. Like, he's turned Darren around. He's turned JJ around. He turns Devin around when he's good. Seth Curry's been good as a ball handler lately.
Let's get Rondo there and see if he can destroy Carlisle.
He got destroyed, actually, man.
Yeah. All right.
He got benched in the playoffs.
So we're heavy on Yogi. You're a heavy buy-in to Yogi rest of season guy.
I mean, if you're cutting a guy who's performing, like, I got a lot of these questions over the weekend. If you're cutting a guy that you've been counting on, I mean, Yogi's not this good. I mean, he's finishing at the rim way better than usual. He's going to the line a little bit more than usual. Yeah, I mean, I'm not cutting a guy that I'm counting on. If I have to think about it, I'm not doing it.
All right, well,
two good games.
What a perfect transition. When we're looking at pickups, we need to comb the desert.
Found anything yet? Nothing yet, sir. How about you?
Not a thing, sir.
What about you guys? We ain't found shit.
Gallagher, have you found anything in this desert of pickups?
Aren't we being a little too literal here, sir?
No, you fool. We're following orders. We were told to comb the desert, so we're combing it.
So let's start with the Billy Goat, man. Billy Hernan Gomez. He was coming into the week as one of the hot pickups, and it just kept rolling. So this guy has to be picked up over Yogi or over, I mean, not over Middleton, obviously, but he's been great. Hornacek talked him up. Hornacek hasn't really been much of a BSer like Jason Kidd is. Thon Maker. Oh, we're going to give Thon Maker minutes. Oh, yeah, we're gonna play this guy. Dude, no, you're not.
There's that guy. There he is.
Yeah.
He pops up everywhere.
Yeah, so he's going to be pretty Billy Goat's got to be there. Another guy who's really impressed me lately is Larry Nance. He's always been a really good steals guy, really good. A lot of dunks, so he's really good for field goal percentage.
Bogman loves Larry Nance.
Block a little bit. Yeah, I picked him up in our league. I was surprised he was sitting out there.
Stuffing things. I love the stuffing things.
Coming off a huge game, back-to-back three steal games. He's not the greatest free throw shooter at 69% on the season. Nice. But yeah, he looks great. They played him at center a little bit. We're going to see Tariq Black. Obviously, Randall's out. But it's been Tariq Black taking Randall's minutes. So I think Nance is fine. I think he's going to be a 26, 27 minute a game guy. Good, close to two steals, good percentages, maybe 7-8 boards, maybe 12 points, and that'll work. That'll be top 80, top 75-ish. Matt Barnes. Matt Barnes is looking at big minutes. He's going to be the primary wing defender for the Kings. No Garrett Temple for 2 to 3 weeks. Rudy Gay obviously out for the season. They're going to mix and match on who they start. They brought him off the bench yesterday for 34 minutes and then 39 minutes in the other game. Forget what the order is. He's another stuffing things guy, man. A little bit of steals, a little bit of threes, decent boards, 14 boards last night. So he's going to play a lot. Marquise Chris. He was coming in with some momentum.
Time.
And yep, coach quotes, man. Another guy who doesn't really BS on coach quotes is Earl Watson, and he had a very good quote yesterday that I love, obviously. He said, quote, "The process is really interesting," and this is him talking about the roster. So it sounds like they are going to trust the process, which means they're going to give their younger guys a little bit more minutes. We remember back in November, Jared Dudley tipped the hand a little bit, saying that we're going to play the younger guys more as the season goes on, and now that they keep losing games, I think they're going to let Chris go. I mean, Dragan Bender hasn't really been there. Alex Lynn's been a disaster pretty much in the past month. Watson doesn't trust him. He has foul trouble too. But, I mean, the Suns have, what, won three games since the 16th of last month. So they're not winning. They're out of it almost already. If Chris could just keep his freaking fouls down, he could be a difference maker. Good shot blockers, some threes, a lot of stuff that you like. Really, really nice upside. So if you if you want pure ceiling, after Billy Goat, I would take Marquise Chris, obviously. J. Mike looked good last night. He's been cut, but he had a fantastic career high game. And then I also wrote as a kind of a stash is another Hernan Gomez. Did you know that Hernan Gomez is Spanish for fantasy pickup?
Yes, actually, that is the exact translation.
Yeah, everyone knows that. Wancho Hernan Gomez, a stash. Gallo's hurt. He may be back. Gallo's going to get hurt again, I think. And then Wilson Chandler possibly on the trade block. So if those two guys go away, then Wancho is really they're going to have Will Barton as well. But they'll work Wancho in. He's been a really good another stuff and things guy. If he gets 30 minutes, he'll be kind of a 1-1-1 steals, threes, and blocks guy. So
what about some when will then be now type of guys? I probably butchered that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Bob, you get it right. It's like
you're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now. We're at now. Now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
No.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
All right. So these are short-term boost guys, probably, you know, for weekly leagues or really just, you know, you're not expecting probably a long-term run on them. What do you think?
So a couple teams that caught my eye that have someone hurt that's key would be the Pacers. And that would be Thaddeus Young. And two guys that are going to benefit there are CJ Miles. I think CJ Miles he had four games this week. I think he's good for 12 threes this week. Probably close to six. He'd be probably around 15 points a game. He played 14 minutes of power forward yesterday. Monta Ellis looks awful. So shots are going there. Glenn Robinson, low usage guy. So he's going to be probably the third wheel in that offense, him and Miles Turner. So he's got plenty of shots. And then a deeper option, LaVoy Allen went off yesterday for 18 and 11. I don't think he's going to be that good. But yeah, that's a good team to target. Another team that has four with somebody hurt, as we kind of alluded to, is the Spurs. Davis Bertans, if you're in a deep league, four games out of him, man, I think he'll be a top 100 player this week with four games. He'll probably only get 18, 20 minutes, but he's probably good for 8 or 9 threes, 50-ish points, call it 8 combined blocks and steals. He's pretty good on the defensive side. And then David Lee, a little bit more shallow, who's been kind of hit or miss. His minutes have been down, but he should be able to work for you. Other than that, I don't think I can roll with Clint K. Felder in a deep league with Kyrie a little banged up, which I think we'll get to. Those are really the only. And then the Minnesota guys we mentioned. So if you want to pick up and play Boz this week, or if you want to pick up and play Rush, or Tyus Jones, if you want some more dimes, and then maybe even Rashawn Holmes. Four games from him. Jaloko Ford's banged up. Joel Embiid's not traveling tomorrow. So you can get a good, maybe two good games out at Holmes, and then maybe another two so-so games out of them if you need a deep big man to stream.
Sir, we've lost the beeps, we've lost the sweeps, and we've lost the creeps.
The what? The what? And the what?
The bleeps. The sweeps. And the creeps.
Yeah, one of the great voicemen, by the way. I can't remember his name now, but one of the dude in
Winslow, Michael Winslow.
Yeah, what was the cop movies?
Police Academy.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus Christ. We're all in the 80s here.
City Under Siege.
Yeah, there you go. Nader, a couple weeks ago, he was on with us, and he expressed major concern for Whiteside getting shut down, as boldly saying he predicted, and he did a garlic bet with us that Whiteside would get shut down. What do you think?
A garlic bet?
It's the LeBron. Ron James, we have a lot of garlic bets, Gallagher, where...
Yeah, Gallagher's in on it.
Yeah.
We told him about it last time.
Yeah,
he already forgot.
Oh, yeah,
come on.
Yeah, you're on the Okafor Noel one with me, and he did a garlic bet that he'll eat garlic if Whiteside isn't shut down. What do you think? Do you agree?
Well, a lot has changed. Huh. What do you say?
I think a little bit has changed. 30 points and 20 rebounds was a nice little change, and team has changed.
10 wins in a row.
Yeah, and I'm saying the team has changed as well.
Yeah. So they went from being, I believe they were second in the lottery, to now they are two games out of the 8th spot.
So, Oh, Nader.
Yeah, so yeah, he better get some garlic, man. I hope. But, I was with him 100%. Like, I'd be chopping down some garlic for sure. But, man.
Okay, how about this? Then how about this? Is Whiteside or Anthony Davis more risky to own, considering both upsides and both trajectory of how things could happen? Look how much 2 weeks has changed. Who is riskier to own?
Davis.
easy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just talking about pure risk.
Well, yeah. Okay. You have Whiteside risk if they get you, like, you know, the Heat lose five in a row and they're right back to where they were. Then maybe Nader is right. You know, maybe Whiteside is then a shutdown candidate again. But Anthony Davis always will have that injury stuff looming. It's just right. always going to be there until it's not, you know, which is it's got to be like at least 2 full years of being pretty damn healthy.
And then also you look at the competition to compete for that 8 slot. The Heat are competing against the Knicks. Okay. The Bucks, maybe. The Hornets are trending down. The Pistons, the Bulls are a mess. I mean, those teams are beatable. Where you look at the West teams going for the 8 seed, you got OKC in the 7 hole. Denver's playing good ball in the 8 spot. Portland, I mean, that's good. And then Minnesota's tied with them. So, and then also the Kings have been fading a little bit. So, I mean, it's going to, if I'm picking who's more likely to play the playoffs, I mean, you got to take the Heat in that spot for sure, especially with how they've been playing lately. And they get Josh Richardson back, who's also a sneaky pickup, by the way.
What about Kyrie re-aggravated that hammy? Is he a guy you're worried about as far as sitting during the fantasy playoffs? And are there any other names on that list?
Just to correct you on that, he had a quad injury yesterday, not the same.
Okay. Because when I was watching it, they were saying hammy.
Quad. He downplayed it. He sounded like he's going to be okay. But, I mean, this guy got rested 2 games in a row in a back-to-back. So, you know that once that season is even remotely close to locked up, it's shutdown city. I mean, they know how valuable Kyrie is. They didn't have Kyrie when they lost the Warriors in the finals, and then they did when they won. So they know that if they're going to beat the Warriors, they need Kyrie as 100% healthy as they can be. I mean, when they play the 8 seed, they could shake the rust off. I mean, when you play the Pistons, the Heat, whoever takes that 8 spot, they're it's basically preseason for their playoffs. So, yeah, I would trade Kyrie, man. I mean, pretty high. I mean, obviously not like Middleton, but if I'm drafting, I'm probably going to take him like 40.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. All right. Great questions, as always. A lot of Spaceballs in there. I'm not the biggest Spaceballs fan, but I get it. It's fun. But be sure to stick around because we have the player debates. Everybody knows them. Everybody loves them. Coming up right after this break on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Help me! I don't know what to do! I can't make decisions! I'm a president!
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, gentlemen, Spaceballs-themed player debate here as the president. I've got a good one for you. At least I thought it was, especially when you're talking about current performance based on name value. Both of these players over the last 30 days on a little bit of a different trajectory as far as ranks goes, but let's see how much that's changed things. First one up, Mike Gallagher, Devin Booker versus Dion Waiters. Go.
Laughably bad. Booker. That's not even a debate. Like, I almost consider Waiters droppable, man.
Oh, really?
Really?
Well, obviously not, but I'm just saying, like, Booker is good and Waiters is not good. Waiters has been good for 2 weeks. He's been bad for almost a decade. And so all
I
of
mean,
a sudden,
I agree. Yeah. But I'm well, but what Waiters. I did.
He's shooting 52%.
He's been amazing. He's been amazing. No question. But hey,
I mean, he's got Josh Richardson coming back. That's why I would pick Booker, but I don't know if Waiters is as bad as you're making him out.
Well, no, I'm not saying I'm kind of exaggerating, but like,
I mean, Booker's been way freaking better over the last 30. Now that I'm looking at him, I think I was looking at the entire season of the 14 days that
he has the longest streak of players under 21 with 20 consecutive scoring games ever. Like, he just passed LeBron yesterday.
Everybody just has spent so much. And you know what it was? It was 14 days, by the way. Waiters is 35 overall in 14 days. And Booker is in the 90s. Everyone has spent so much time crapping on Booker this season. I'm not a Booker crapper, if that can be a word. That's not the game that I play because I've steadfastly said
I don't think anybody wants to play Booker crapper. I don't think it's a fun game.
If it's anything like a pie face, I don't think anyone wants to play that.
I'll bring a book in the crapper, but that's all I'm doing.
But like, everyone has spent so much time thinking Devin Booker is just DeMar DeRozan redux, you know, like old school DeMar DeRozan. But like, he's elite points. He's coming in with some rebounds and some assists. He'd get you some steals. I'm taking Booker easy here too. But I was curious if what the Heat are doing, Waiter stepping into the role that he has and the moves that they could make and how the last 2 weeks has gone has changed anything. But it sounds like you're not buying any bit of the Waiter's business. But Bogman, are you kind of?
I am for the short term. I want to see what it's going to be like with Josh Richardson back. So that's why I would take Devin Booker in this. And Booker is also, you know, a big difference between these two guys is free throw percentage. Waiters is terrible, 60%, and Booker is 82%, and he's getting in the line 7 times a game, which is nice. And you know, the Suns should start tanking soon, and they should trade off a lot of players. And Booker, I don't know, I don't think he can get more minutes, but maybe more usage, maybe a bigger role, that type of stuff. So for me, it was kind of easy Booker, but I think Waiters is worth owning in deeper leagues.
Oh, he's worth owning in almost every league right now. He's hot.
Yeah. Yeah, own him while he's hot, but I mean, he could be a guy that's droppable when Richardson comes back.
So. Yeah, he's like the ultimate sell high player. If I can just, I was super quick on my answer, so I get more time, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
So interesting quotes from Watson yesterday. He talked about Eric Bledsoe hitting a physical wall, which I thought was interesting. This was off a back-to-back, and he did drop 41 on Wednesday, and he looked all right. So I thought he looked okay. I thought he just missed shots. This wasn't on his A game. He had energy. So that reading between the lines, I was like, oh boy, maybe they lighten up Bledsoe, and maybe they give Bledsoe more playmaking opportunities. We all know that whatever Booker does, he could score 50 points a game, and he still wouldn't be elite because we need him to do more stuff. We need him to get more assists. We need him to get more steals. The low steals has been killer. So yeah, I think Booker's going to start trending up, and I was going to add too, I think for me, a closer player debate would be like Yogi Ferrell versus Waiters versus a Booker Waiters battle. I'm very anti Waiters, man.
I'm super glad that you said that, because like I said, and probably because of our proximity of the Suns, I get a lot of questions of what's wrong with Devin Booker, why is he this, why is he that, and not lately because he's been playing at such a good clip this last little run, but he's a good player, and he is more valuable than people are giving him credit for.
He's 20 years old.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's go to a better than debate here, Bogman. What's the next one up?
The next one we have here is Otto Porter versus Draymond Green, Gallagher.
Porter's my boy, but I think it's still got to be Draymond, man. I mean, Porter is leading the league in 3-point percentage. It shouldn't be this close.
It's right? Yeah, and over the last 30 days, Porter on Yahoo has been better than Draymond Green, because Green has not been super great over the last 30 days, especially when you look at his total numbers, but he's still doing Draymond things.
Yeah, Draymond's the man. I mean, is Porter the steal of the draft? I mean, he's got to be, right?
I think
he's
at
least one of them. Absolutely. Yeah.
He fell. I got him in my 30, man. I got him at, I think, 122.
Wow.
I remember talking about that because I was a little poopy on Porter as far as the top 40 was going. I just didn't like it. But I remember when you told me that, I was like, how is that happening? Because Porter, when you got into the 80s or in 70s, like, give me a break. Like, you got to take him. But it seemed a bit aggressive taking him into the top 40s or 50s. But hey, it's paying off because he's been freaking amazing.
Yeah, he's been good. I mean, like, by far, he's probably got a lot. He's got like almost a 2% cushion on the let me tell you who got picked before Porter in that league. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that'd be funny. Okay, so where were we here? So I'll run this down quick. Okay, Ryan took Steven Adams, which is a pretty good pick.
That's a good pick.
Adams has been really good. Robert Covington, not even close. Marvin Williams, Chris Dunn, awful. Tim Frazier, awful. Emmanuel Mudiay, Joakim Noah, Damari Carroll, Miritich. I took the homie before because I knew Porter would be there on the way back. Alex Len, Marcus Morris, and then Porter, and then Julius Okafor right behind them.
Chris Dunn,
dude.
Do you remember that whole the shtick we got in the beginning of the season where Thibodeau said 20 games, Dunn is not going to pretty much play for 20 games.
That's right. When we got drafted.
Porter's the starter.
Yeah, well,
he's not a rookie. Well,
if you remember, it was a bunch of BS, and a lot of people bought it when it was it was like up for grabs, him and Oubre. And it was like, dude, come on, man. Kelly Oubre had a good preseason, but Otto Porter is good. He can guard fours. He's good. And yeah, we're seeing it, man. I mean, I did not. I've been a Porter guy since he came out of Georgetown, but man, this is. I thought his ceiling was like, you guys remember, I was pimping him early, and he was just. I thought he'd be like top 40, 50, not like 15.
I wound up with him, I think, in three leagues because he fell.
Because I
wasn't a big Porter guy, but I did like him more than other people did. So I think I wound up with him in like three leagues. I think this one is actually pretty easy for me, and I'm going with Draymond too. I know the percentages are worse for him, but he is better in the stats that are harder to come by.
Yep.
Rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. So he just wins in those categories. So for me, I got to go with Draymond.
Yeah, I'm going to go Draymond too. But to point out, it is really close. I mean, over the last 30 days, those guys are pretty dang close, and Porter has taken the edge. In the entire season on Yahoo and a 9-cat, Porter is still above Green. Porter is 16 overall, and Draymond Green is 20. But, I'm going to avoid rank here a little bit. And like Bogman said, I want the stuff and things. Draymond Green is one of the top captains of the stuff and things team. The percentages kind of do suck a little bit because, I mean, Porter, if you want to play a comparison game, Porter is pretty aggressively higher in the percentages than Draymond Green is. But I'm getting I'm getting assists from a power forward that, 80% of the league doesn't have at the point guard position. I consider elite blocks 1.5 and above, so it's elite blocks. 1.5 steals and above is elite. It's elite steals, elite assists. I mean, close to elite rebounds.
Captain elite.
I will take Draymond Green, but it is close, and Porter ranks higher in 30 and 6 and full season than Draymond Green does. Last
thing I just want to add quick. Porter is, if you just do Eastern Conference and total value, he is an all-star starter if you do fantasy value. He's the fifth best Eastern Conference player.
No doubt. Porter.
Giannis, Lowry, Jimmy Butler, Isaiah Thomas. Porter's ahead of freaking LeBron.
It's a pretty damn good team, too. It's a pretty damn good team. All right, last one up here. Bogman, we'll start with you. It's a point guard battle. Drew Holiday, who has picked up his game, versus John Wall, who has stayed on the court, surprisingly. So what do you think? Rest of season, Bogman. Drew Holiday or John Wall?
This one's John Wall for me. He's only missed two games, Gallagher. The last one was November 12th, and since then he's played only less than 30 minutes twice. The dude seems to be getting better as the year goes on, too. Drew is playing great. Dude has 44 assists in his last five games, but Wall has 67 assists in his last five games. Over the last month, Wall is better in free throw points, rebounds, assists, steals, and only has 0.1 more turnovers. They're both great, but Wall's got to be my guy.
I got to tell you, this one is closer to me then. If you were pretty confident about Wall, I mean, Drew Holiday over the last 2 weeks has been a top 10 player. Over the last 30 days, he's been in that upper echelons on the season. He's about in the 50s. John Wall is playing out of his mind, but there is one of those things that I do love about Drew Holiday is the true stuff and thing nature of him. Over the last 30 days, he almost is averaging a full block. He's right at two steals. The assists, I mean, they're not John Wall assists, but everything else outside of points is pretty close with Holiday. He's averaging more threes. His percentages, at least from the field goal range, the field hoop range, are better. I'm going... Man, I want to go... I mean, over the last 30 days, he's been 30 overall, and John Wall has been 25. I really want to say Drew Holiday. I really, really want to say Drew Holiday. I'm going to say John Wall and probably sweep this thing. But if Gallagher says something really smart here, it could sway me to go Drew Holiday. So what do you think, Gallagher?
I can say a bunch of stuff, but it has to be Wall. And I will admit, I was down on Wall for a lot of reasons, but I have to live with my regret. It's irreversible, like my raincoat. if you date it back, and even the other day, on 8 days ago, 9 days ago, Wall said that the original plan was for me to rest in back-to-backs until January. And that was kind of the plan.
Right.
He had surgery on both of his knees. It wasn't one knee with the same procedure. He just went went, bam, fix these puppies in. He had rest on the 5th of November. Wyclef gone.
Yep, gone to
November. he thought he'd be out. And then the 12th. And so I was like, oh, he's going to rest on the 16th or 17th on the next back. And no. And he hasn't missed a game since. He's ridiculous. His assist numbers are crazy, as you mentioned. He's great, man. And like, if the past month, like, IT was great, but IT was great early in the month. So I think if you take like the past, call it like 3 weeks, I guess, Wall has been Eastern Conference player of the past 3 weeks, especially with the Wizards winning 17 in a row. But yeah, it's got to be him. You mentioned Jrue Holiday. Why he's been good and why he's been so phenomenal on the stat sheet is because efficiency. This guy's making shots left and right. And we saw him come back to earth on Saturday against John Wall. 5 of 17, he's from the field, bad game. It's cooled off from three, which was also carrying him. So yeah, those two things are a little unsustainable. He's not a 50% kind of a guy. He's like a four. He's pretty good. He's like a 45 kind of a guy. But yeah, I mean, it's got to be Wall there. But even without, I'll just take the hit on turnovers, man. It's all good.
All right. Well, that is Lone Star and his sidekick Jonas Nader, aka Puke, is what we'll say maybe because of his Whiteside take. Hey, it's perfect. Let's call Nader Puke now. Right? Can we do that?
That's my guy, man.
I know, we can't do that to Nader. I love Nader too much. Mike Gallagher from Roto World. Find him on Twitter at Mike S. Gallagher. All the badass stuff that Roto World's got going on. They're like Planet Druidia with 10,000 years of fresh air just waiting for you with fantasy basketball knowledge. And we were able to pull off a succinct Spaceballs referenced episode, Mike.
Didn't overdo it. Thought we had a good mixture of not annoying people who don't know what the heck we're talking about. Yeah, we got an unlisted Wall. We're doing everything from people that may not know where we are, but it's listed now and we're good. We'll do some merchandising after.
Yes, let's do it. We'll
work on that. Should do the Welsh is they should go to inthisleague.com, go to the Amazon banner, and then rent Spaceballs.
They could even buy it. It's probably pretty cheap right now.
Either way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Gallagher shares in all good things in life as we do, all the great references. Gallagher's a must follow in every fashion, and he's one of our best buddies, and he always takes his beautiful time out for us. So Mike, we love you. I love you. Let's do Spaceballs again. Let's have a viewing party. Let's all watch it together.
Or we gotta do Mallrats next time.
Done. That is it. Count it. Is Mallrats.
You come up with the references.
I got
time.
It. I'm gonna do a whole thing with the Mallrats. That's yes, guaranteed. Please. All right, Mike. Please. We love you.
I will correct you if you miss any good ones though.
All right. Yeah, like if it's if it's really a ship.
Yeah. Schooner.
It's a schooner. All right. Thanks, Mike.
Schooner is a shoot, dum-dum ahead.
Well, we want to thank Mike for coming in and bringing some Spaceballs into our life. 1987. It's never been more hip and relevant. I know the execs over at Fantasy Sports Radio Network were like, yes, please, guys, we need a younger audience. Please play to the tune of Spaceballs on here.
Finally, someone's doing it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. We don't need Rogue One stuff. Please do Spaceballs, the obscure 30-year-old movie. Please do that. Well, we want to thank Mike for bringing that in. We have fun with it. We talk some football. We talk some baseball. Lots of basketball. You missed any of it, you can listen to this show on demand at fantasysportsradio.com/radio. You can find this show that we do here. Search In This League on iTunes and you can find it. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio version. But if you want to get all of our full podcasts, just search ITL in iTunes or anywhere, and you will probably find all of our podcasts. We've got a fantasy prospect podcast. We've got an NFL draft prospect podcast, football, baseball, basketball. There's a hockey one. It's all happening at inthisleague.com. And it is so much fun because football is now in the rearview mirror. People got to turn to basketball. People got to turn to baseball. And we are going to be your home for all that coverage. I am the Welsh. Find me on Twitter at isitthewelsh, at isitthewelsh. That's Bogman. You can find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. More In This League coming up for you next week, Wednesdays, 8 to 10 Eastern. Right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Until then, peace out.
Sorry.